are listening to the North Hills Baptist Church podcast with Pastor David Hetzer.
Proverbs chapter 12. We are in the book of Proverbs. We are in chapter 12. And we will, for sure, at least finish this chapter, chapter 12. And I like the book of Proverbs. It's practical, but also it's challenging. And I find it challenging for me in trying to bring out the truths, but also not lose the simplicity of the proverb. And so there's a lot of challenge there that I enjoy. I hope the Lord has given you some practical truths. I'm looking forward to the message tonight. The message tonight really spoke to me, and it's kind of given me some things, just good stuff. Amen. I say that, good stuff. In Proverbs chapter 12. And verse 2. Let's go ahead and read verse 1 to remind us of the last proverb we looked at. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Let's say that again. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this verse, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to communicate it. I pray, Father, that we would all walk out of here with some encouragement, some motivation, and just some thoughts of you. I pray you'd bless this preaching tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. A great degree of the wisdom that we must use in life, and a great deal of the battles of character in our life take place within the different communities in which we've been placed within. The application of wisdom in our life, the need of wisdom in our life, and much of the testings of our character will take place within the communities that we are placed within. See, all of us are placed within different communities, different realms, different groupings of people. All of us are placed within some sense of a work community, and you work with employees, you work with people around you, and that is a work community. We have a church community that we are placed within, brothers and sisters and lost people who come in and out, and regular attenders and so forth. We're placed within a church community. We're placed within a family community that we live within, our immediate, our mom, dad, sisters, brothers, and then, of course, our distant relatives as well. And on we could go. We're placed within different communities. Some of you may be involved in organizations. You may be involved in groups. You may go to particular places often, and so you have kind of become a part of a community there. And as we interact in these communities that God has placed us in, it's imperative that we understand wisdom for those areas. And Solomon, a great deal of the Proverbs are specifically to talk to us about our dealings with people in the communities in which we live in. In other words, it's not just like how to improve your emotional stability. It's not just how to develop confidence or things like that. Much of Proverbs have to deal with how we deal with people, and how we, what kind of person, what kind of individual we are within the community that God has placed us in. And so in this proverb, Solomon is going to, he's going to kind of come to the foundation. There's varying degrees, but he's going to kind of bring it down to the foundation. He's going to talk about two different kinds of people that exist within communities. Two different kinds of people that function and operate with those that are around them. Notice the first person that exists within a community. There's a person in verse 2 called a good man. A good man. The word good means pleasant. It means agreeable. So the idea of a good man is that they are people that are good to their community. They are people that are good to their community. Let me give you, in this context, a definition of a good man. A good man is one who gives himself for the advantage of others. A good man is one who gives himself for the advantage or the benefit of others. In other words, he gives to contribute to the community that he's in. That's a good man. A good man is one who is a giver to the community that he's in. So if it's in a church or a family or the workplace or some type of organization or grouping, he is a person or she is a person who is a contributor, gives of herself, gives of himself to benefit the community to whom they are placed in. Some of those things would be this. Good people are honest. A good person tells the truth, even when it may be at their disadvantage to do so. They tell the truth even when it may cost them, even when it may harm them, even when it may hinder them. They tell the truth in the community that they are in. Good people are giving. They will take of their resources, they will take of their garments, as John the Baptist would say, and they will distribute their resources to other people to help meet the needs of those around them. They are givers of their resources to those who live within the community. Good people are thoughtful. Good people consider the situations of people, consider the problems of people, consider the difficulties of people, and they behave or respond or interact with those people with thoughtfulness as to what that person's going through. They're a good person. They contribute, they give to that person by being thoughtful. Good people are positive in their comments of others. They generally look for the positive comments in other people. By the way, it makes me think of the Apostle Paul, who was generally, even in the negative, found positive in his speaking of other people. Good people in the community, they're not gossips. Amen. They're not slanderers. They're not the place where everyone goes to get the latest and greatest bad news about somebody. They're primarily looking for the best. They're primarily speaking the positive. They're primarily building people up and speaking well as best as they can for the situation they're in. Good people help others. They see needs, they see issues, they see situations that arise, and they volunteer themselves to help those people in their needs. Good people forgive and give second chances. Good people understand that living within a community, that people will hurt them. People will do them wrong. People will say things and interact in ways that are inappropriate sometimes. But a good man is a forgiving man. A good man is a man of second chances to those that are around him. Good people are fair in their business. We've seen that often in the book of Proverbs. They properly measure the balances, if you will. They properly weigh out the scales and give and take that which is appropriate. And so can I say it this way? If you have a good man and you drop a good man into a job, or if you drop a good woman into a church, or if you drop a good person into a neighborhood, here's how you know they are a good person. They will contribute to the environment that they are in for the good. So in other words, I think we know what that looks like. In other words, you put that good person in the workplace, and not only are they successful, but they contribute to everyone that are around them to be a benefit to them. You put a good person in a church, and not are they only just thriving spiritually, but they are a benefit, they are good to those that are around them for the edification and their spiritual growth. You put a good person within a family, and they not only exist and get what they want, but they benefit the other people of a family member. They are giving of themselves to contribute to other people to make their life better. So that's one kind of person in a community. The second person is the end of verse 2. It says, but a man of wicked devices. So on one scale, you have a good man. On the other scale, you have a man of wicked devices. A man of wicked devices is pretty much as it sounds. It's a person with evil schemes. It's a person who schemes with the others that are in the community. So let me say it this way. If a good man is one who gives of himself to benefit others, a man of wicked devices is one who takes from others to benefit himself. Did you hear what I said? A good man is one who gives of himself to benefit others. A man of wicked devices is one who takes from others to benefit himself. And primarily that will come by schemes, plans, plots of wickedness to take from others to benefit themselves. If you really think about that, there would be characteristics like this, starting as simple and stretching out. These would be the kind of people that are selfish with their time unless it directly benefits them. No benefit, no time. These are people who are disinterested in the difficulty of others. They're not interested in the heartaches. They're not interested in the pain. They're not interested in the afflictions that other people are going through. That doesn't have much to do with them. They're people that are dishonest when it will provide an advantage to them. Now, they might be honest, but the moment that they can gain, the moment that they can benefit, the moment that they can get something out of someone, they will lie, they will flatter, they will deceive, they will change or twist the truth, they will present it differently so that they can gain from another person. They are divisive with anyone who will not help in their cause. So as they're seeking to gain, as they're seeking to benefit themselves, if you get in the way, if you do not help them get what they want, then they will have a problem with you. And not only will they have a problem with you, but they'll try to help others have a problem with you as well. They will divide the community to benefit themselves. They take from others, or let me say it this way, they receive from others even when they are in excess. In other words, they have plenty of something, but they can never have enough. And so they will gladly take from someone else who might not even have enough. Even if they already are in excess, they'll take as much as they possibly can. There are people that manipulate to get what they want. They understand the emotional strings. They understand the pride of individuals. And they know how to work people. They know how to manipulate people to receive what they want from them. They figure out ways to move ahead at someone else's expense. In other words, people are objects to be moved out of the way so they can take the position that those objects hold. They'll move whoever they need to move out of the way, like a chessboard. They'll take them down so that they can conquer the board that they want. They'll speak bad of others to make themselves look good. They're the kind of people that if anyone is a threat to them in their eyes, if anyone is outperforming them, if anyone is doing anything better than them or rising, they will cast doubts upon them. They will say negative things about them. They will find faults with that person. Why? So that they can drown, or they can bring down the image of that person, so then they can exalt themselves so that they can gain from it. And they're obviously unforgiving to those who have cost them. If you've cost them in any way, they have no forgiveness for you because you're of no benefit to them. So if a good person is a person that you drop into a community and they immediately contribute, can we say that a man of wicked devices is one, if you drop into a community, they immediately begin to harm and they begin to take from the community? It's like a parasite. You know what a parasite is? A parasite is an organism that finds all of its nutrients from another source. It latches on to what they call a host. It latches on to a cow, or it latches on to some other kind of organism, and it finds all of its nutrients, it finds all of its life from sucking it from something else. That's what a man of wicked devices is. A man of wicked devices is someone you put in a church, someone you put in a family, someone you put in the workplace, and they latch on to people and take what they have so that they can get everything they want, and they contribute nothing to the community. And so Solomon's helping us envision the different ways that you and I can interact, the different ways that you and I can live. We can be contributors. We can be good people, honest, upright, giving, sacrificial, thoughtful, or we can be more takers, dividing and scheming and doing all these different things to receive. But here's what Solomon wants us to understand. As we interact with others in our life, God will interact with us. Say again, as we begin to interact with people within our community, God will begin to interact with us in our relationship with Him. And it's very important that we understand just how He will interact with us. He says in verse 2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. When a person chooses to do good in their community, God chooses to do good to them. The Bible says that a good man will seize, he will lay hold of favor. Favor means this: delight, desire, goodwill. In other words, a good man will find that God's desire, God's delight, God's goodwill is now bent towards that good man. Have you ever said this in any type of circumstance? That person is favored. They're the favorite child. And what does that mean? It means that a parent is inclined or disposed to give that child more than the others, more to listen to that child more than the others, more to let things slide than with the others. I know no one's ever said that, but in the idea that you've ever thought that, sometimes we use that phrase, they're a favored child. Are you warm? Raise your hand if you're warm. Okay, just a couple of you. All right, we'll probably work on that here in a second. Or someone will say this, a student is favored. You have a teacher and you have a class, and now you have this teacher, and this teacher is favoring the student. What is he doing? He is inclined to help the student more. He is inclined to give a favorable grade to that student. Whatever they're being accused of, they're inclined to that student. Or we might say that a worker is favored. And what are we saying? That a boss is inclined to give them the promotion. A boss is inclined to give them a raise. We all understand what that's like. And we understand, usually we don't say it in a positive fashion. But in this sense, it is a positive fashion, because here's what it is. God, he is inclined towards good men. What do you mean? It means this, that God positions himself and desires to do good, to bless, to do wonderful things to those who are good people in the community. So in other words, just like someone might say a parent has a favorite child, which that's a bad concept, but you understand the idea that they're inclined to want to help that child. So God takes the good man, and God, it says his favor, his desire is to bless and to do good to that person who does good within their community. That's an amazing thought to me. That God in heaven would see an individual who is good in their community, and God would say, I desire to do good to them because they are good to those within their community. And so God pours his favor on them. Well, what does favor look like? What in the world does that look like? Well, if you consider the lives of Joseph, he was favored, amen? You consider the life of Daniel, I would say he was favored. That's another place to amen. You consider the life of Daniel, I would say he's favored. Amen. You consider the life of David, I would say that, except for a little bump in the road, I would say that David was favored. Okay. Well, when you read the Old Testament, you read the Scriptures, and you see people that are favored, and then even as you look in this chapter of Proverbs, I think that there's some different ways in which God will give us favor. Now, let me say this. I'm not saying he'll do every single one of these. I'm not saying that God will do this one or that one. I'm just saying that God has been shown in the Scripture and in our lives to demonstrate his favor in some of these different ways. I want to give you some tonight to give you some imagery. God will often give us favor by blessing the results of our work. Oh, Joseph. Joseph's there in the prison. Joseph is there in the field as a servant. And what does the Bible say? But the hand of the Lord was on Joseph, and everything he did was blessed. I think about even Jacob, who had the blessing of God. And Laban said, I know that if you leave, I will fall into poverty because God's hand is on you, and everything you do will grow because his favor is on your life. There are times where God may show his favor on you, and he may bless your work. He may bless your test. He may bless something that you've made with your hands. He may bless something that you've done. And he's made your work look good. He's made your work even better than you thought you could accomplish. He blesses your work in such a way that other people around you see it, and they notice there's something different about that production that you've given. No, that's not just like a good day. That's not just, well, I was lucky today. That's the favor of God blessing work. God sometimes will give us favor in preserving us from danger. There's David. He's in the wilderness. Saul is in hot pursuit. Everywhere David looks, Saul is there. Everywhere David tries to flee, Saul is there. But Saul never killed David. Saul never got to David. Why? Because God's favor was on David. And because God's favor was on David, God preserved the life of David from his enemies. Hold your place. Look at verse 7. We see that here. He says, "The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand." In other words, when God's favor is on you, he can preserve you from danger. There might be someone at your job who they're after you. There might be someone in your community and they want to get you. They want to destroy you. They want to ruin you. But listen, God's favor can be on you, and sometimes his favor will keep that person from harming you. No, they may get close. The write-up may be on the way. The meeting may take place. But the favor of God sweeps in and God removes the danger sometimes, and he protects you from losing your job, or he protects you from that demotion, or he protects you from the danger of this harmful situation that could be coming to you. God often gives us his favor by giving us favor with people. You read the scriptures, I think about when God blessed David, and Saul wanted all the people to hate David more than anything. But the Bible says that David behaved wisely before the Lord and the people loved him. You know what that was? It wasn't because David was so amazing. It was because the favor of God was on his life. By the way, even before Saul came under the condemnation of God, the Bible says that God knit the hearts of the men to Saul. Why? Because at that time, Saul had the favor of God on his life. And God may give you favor with your boss. God may give you favor with a coworker. God may give you favor with a family member. God may give you favor from somebody you don't even know who decides to send you a check in the mail. God may give you favor with some person who out of nowhere decides to do something for you that you have no clue why they would do that, but they cut you a break or they give you a deal or they go out of their way to do something for you. That's not just people being wonderful. That's God's favor saying, I'm going to give you favor with this individual. I like this stuff. Favor in providing wisdom or insight. Joseph stands before Pharaoh and there's a dream. But God gave him the insight to give the dream. Daniel stands before the king and God gives him the insight to give the analysis of the dream. And listen, there are times in life where God may put us in a situation and we don't really have the wisdom, we don't really have the insight, but because we're a good man, because we are contributors and we are honest and we are upright and we have integrity and we do things right to others before the Lord, that God will give us insight, he will give us wisdom, and you'll walk out of a deal and say, how did I handle that situation like that? Have you ever been there? If not, you don't know the favor of God. I'm just kidding. Have you ever had a time in your life where you thought, I don't even know where that answer came from? I don't even know how I handled that conflict like that. I don't even know how I was able to figure out that problem. I have no clue. That's the favor of God in your life saying, let me give this to you, the insight and the wisdom that you need. Favor in providing longevity. You know what God did for David's throne? God said, I'm going to establish it and I'm going to preserve it and no one's going to be able to stop it. You know what? God can provide longevity in the community that you're in. God can preserve your family. God can preserve your business. God can preserve wherever you are. God can take the life of something that may appear like it's going to end here, and God can say, you know what? I'm going to preserve that. God can do that to a church, by the way. God can say, they're good people, and they're contributing to their community, and I'm going to establish them in the community. I'm going to expand their longevity here in this particular area. That's why verse 3 says, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. There's longevity when the favor of God is there. Favor in providing spiritual strength and nourishment from God. I think about the times as you read about men like David as they were going through a difficult time and the favor of God was there and God sent a man like Jonathan or even the Lord who had the favor of God and God sent the angels. And you think about different times where God gave spiritual nourishment and strength. That is the favor of God enabling us and strengthening us through our life. Sometimes it comes like this. Favor in just pouring on the blessings. I love that picture of Joseph after he's given the interpretation and he's second in command. I like that. And he's not the only person in the Word of God that experienced that. All through the Old Testament, you see God doing that. What is God doing? God is favoring those people, and he's providing blessing for them. And you know, have you ever had a time in your life where you just felt like, man, there's just blessings all over the place? You just feel like the Israelites going out into the field and there's manna to collect, and you just say, what is this? I'll tell you what it is. It's the favor of God. The Bible's teaching us this, that God is inclined to do good to those who are inclined to do good to others. If you're inclined to do good to others, God will be so inclined as to do good to you. You're a good man in the community that you live in, God will be good to you, and he will show you his favor. And I just want to stop and say this tonight, that the favor of God is real. That the favor of God is not something that can be measured, is not something that can be fully understood, but for any person who's walked with God for any period of time, and I mean truly walked with God and tried to be a good man, we understand that there's none good outside of the Holy Spirit, there's none good by his power, but I mean those who have been enabled by God to be good know what it is to see his favor. And it's a wonderful thing, it's a miraculous thing, it's a divine thing. And God says, for the good man, Solomon says, God will have favor towards them. Then look what he says in verse 2. He says, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. That doesn't sound good. Condemn means to declare wrong. Now listen to these. To disturb. To make trouble. To vex. Okay, we talked about, you know, sometimes we look at a student or a child or a worker, and we say, boy, they're favored. But we've also seen the opposite, haven't we? Where they're not favored. Where they're the apple of the eye of the person for the negative. Where this person wants to do everything he can, or she wants to do everything she can to go against them. She wants to trouble them. They want to vex them. And listen, in a godly justice way, the Bible says that those who imagine wicked devices, God condemns them. In other words, God works in their life to trouble them. To vex them. He condemns them. I think that's pretty heavy. God looks at a man or a woman who works within their community and they're dishonest and they're liars or they're manipulators, they're thieves. You know what the Bible says? God says, I'm not going to put my favor on that person. I'm going to work against that person. And God works to condemn them. And this isn't just in salvation. This is daily condemnation. This is God working against. You think about the life of Saul. I picture the life of Saul. I think I see a man who lived with wicked devices, and we saw a man who God was against in his life. You think of a man named Pharaoh and how Pharaoh was a man of wicked devices, and we saw God against him in his life. And here's kind of what some ideas of what it looks like as you look through the scriptures. God may shorten the length of their success. No, Saul had a long reign that he could have experienced. There was a great plan for Saul, but you know what Saul did? Saul disobeyed, and he entered into wicked devices. You know what God did? God said, I'm going to cut short your reign, because now I'm against you. And God has cut short the reigns of leaders. God took a man named Herod who stood up before people and exalted himself. And God said, I'm going to cut you short right now. And he died right then and there. God can cut short the success of a businessman. He can cut short the success of a family. He can cut short the success of a group of people working together to try to accomplish something. God can say, you're not going to get there. You're going to stop right here because you are manipulating. You are a man. You are a woman of wicked devices. And many people have been cut short. And that's what verse 3 is saying when it says, a man shall not be established by wickedness. In other words, he's not going to be established. At some point, it's going to fall short for him. God may take away their favor with the people. You have a person, and he had favor, or she had favor, and now all of a sudden, he's in the midst of division. Now all of a sudden their friends are upset with him. Now all of a sudden things aren't going good with the boss. Now all of a sudden things aren't going good with below. And it's like all these things that he or she was sowing are now coming back. And now they've lost their favor with the people. Do you know what that is? That's the condemnation of God. That's God vexing and disturbing what's going on. Think about the life of Saul. Saul lost his favor with the people. When Saul told the people to slay Jonathan, they said, we're not going to slay Jonathan. He had lost his credibility. He had lost his favor with his own nation. God may remove protection from danger. We know Saul's out there in the field in battle. No. And God could have protected him. And God had protected him before. But God removed his hand of protection upon him. And Saul was slain in the field of battle. God may say, I'm going to remove my hand of protection to allow some things to happen as a voice of displeasure with what's taking place here. God may remove wisdom and discernment. Now, I'm talking about lost people even. We understand this, that even lost people get what they get because of the good grace of God. And God may take a man like Saul. You remember the story of Saul as he's trying to decide to fight the Philistines, trying to decide, should he go to battle, should he not go to battle, and what does he do? He goes to God. Does he hear from God? No, God has nothing to say to him. He has no wisdom. He has no insight. What does he do? He dresses up and he goes to the witch of Endor and he tries to get some wisdom from her. He tries to get some insight. You know what God has done? God has removed the wisdom and insight in his life and he's vexing him. And there might be people in life who were functioning well in their role. They might have been doing well in their marriage. They might have been doing well. And now all of a sudden the wisdom's not there. Now all of a sudden the discernment's not there. There's a vexing upon their life. God may remove intellectual or emotional wellness. I picture Saul begging for someone to come play music for him. Why? Because he's not well. His emotions, his spirit are greatly disturbed. Well, what was that? God had removed his spirit and allowed his spirit to fall upon him, and he was vexed by it. And the Bible says that he was completely vexed, and he had to have David come play the harp to help him. No. People sometimes lose that wellness. God's hand of blessing is removed. And now all of a sudden, they begin to struggle emotionally and intellectually. In other words, listen, those who plan to take from others will find that God will take from them. Those of wicked devices will find that God will work against them. And so he says this in verse 2. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. God is inclined to treat you how you are inclined to treat others. Now I want to give us three principles from this proverb. One, this proverb calls us to faith. So this is, what do you mean? Okay. I want you to think, why did Solomon tell us this? Here's why Solomon told us this. Because in what we see right in front of us and what we see in the short term doesn't always resemble this verse. What do you mean? What we see in life right in front of us and what we see in the short term often says this: the good man gets trampled and the wicked gets success. Well, that's why he's telling his son this, because his son will one day reign. His son will one day rule. And here's what he will see in the short term. Here's what he will see in the nearsightedness of life. He will see wicked men seeming to prosper. He will see wicked people manipulating and cheating and stealing and taking advantage, and yet they will grow and they will succeed, and he will see good men be taken advantage of, and he will see good men go. No, I'm just saying, if you would have looked at David's life at a particular time, you might not have been convinced about the favor of God. If you would have looked at Moses' life at a particular time, or Daniel's life at a particular time, or if you would have looked at Joseph's life at a particular time, you wouldn't have said, yep, I see this proverb right at work here. You might have wondered a little bit. And here's a reality. This proverb demands our faith that even when we can't see it, even when we don't see it, we must believe that God gives his favor to those who are good to others, and God will condemn those who are not good to others. And that's a call to faith. And that's why the Bible says this, that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It's an understanding, a reverence for the working of God. And you and I will never apply Proverbs unless we have faith that they're real. And it's a call to faith. It's a call that says, I know that I'm seeing a bunch of people doing wrong and they're getting away with it, but I'm going to be a good man anyway because I believe the favor of God will be in my life regardless. That's a call to faith. Second principle is this. This proverb calls us to find encouragement in being good. If I am a giver to my community, I know I have the favor of God. Now listen, I understand I'm saved and I have his favor, But I believe this weaves into that. And I believe that you and I can find great encouragement in our home, in our business, and in the communities that we live in, that if we are a giver to people and we are upright and we are honest, we can know that I believe in a special and extra way that we will obtain favor from God. I find that to be encouraging. That might be something that you need to take with you on work sometimes. That might be something you have to keep with you within the house sometimes. That might be something that as you're struggling to want to do good or struggling to want to be good, you have to encourage yourself and remind yourself that if I am a good person in the sense of if I am a giver of good to those around me, then I will receive, I will obtain extra favor of God, and I can have it and I can see it in my life. And that's encouraging to think about. And then this proverb calls me to be fearful of using wicked devices. What do you mean? Well, before I manipulate someone, I might want to think twice, do I really want the condemnation of the Lord active in me? I'm not talking about going to hell. I'm talking about, do I want God to begin to trouble some things a little bit? I might want to think about that. I might want to think about it before I lie or deceive. I might want to think about it before I say something about another person to get their promotion. I might want to think about it as maybe I'm tempted to be selfish and live for myself. I might want to just ask myself this question, do I really want to experience the trouble of not doing right for other people's life? And that should cause a sense of fear. That should cause a sense of hesitation in wanting to do those different things. And so Solomon says this, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wickedness will he condemn. May God help us to be good men, good women, and see the favor of our great God. Let's pray.